We're going to be in a couple different places today, so if you have your Bibles, first would you turn to Matthew 4, verse 18. I'll let you turn there before I give you the next one. Matthew 4, 18. Then would you stick your finger there, or bookmark or whatever there, and flip over to Matthew 28, 18. So you'll be in both those places. I don't know about the women in here, but I can say this for the men. A lot of times we think we were a lot better at things in the past than we probably really were. A bunch of us were out front this morning reminiscing about the good old days. Back in the days when, you know, we were all in our minds should have been bound for the NFL. But we obviously didn't make it. So as we talked about that, I got to thinking about sports and kind of things that a lot of us have done in the past growing up. And when you play a sport, if you can't give all of yourself to it, if you can't commit yourself to the focus of that sport, you're generally not going to be very good at it. You generally have to put a lot into something if you want a lot back. And I got to thinking about what that translates as Christians. What are we willing to put into it today? Are we willing to just put a little bit, just enough to say that we're Christian? Are we willing to put everything into it? Would you stand with me this morning? Let's look at Matthew 28, verse 18. First, it says, "And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen." Let's pray. Father, as we come before you, Father, I'm just thankful today that you've given us a promise of tomorrow. And Father, I pray today that as we would seek to live for you, as we would seek to honor you, Father, I pray that we would be bold in sharing your truth, but bold in living it in our own life. Father, may we not just give you a sprinkle, a little here or a little there, but Father, may we give you everything. Father, I pray today that you would be with your people. As we go through your word, may it speak boldly. And Father, may we look at ourselves when we start to question, where is revival? Would we look at our own hearts and our own world and say, am I giving my everything? Father, be with us today. Lead us and guide us. It's in your name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Keep your bookmarks in both scriptures. We'll go to the other one here in just a minute. But I want to start with the thought, why is discipleship biblical? You see, many of us make the excuse of, I'm not good enough to do God's work. Have you ever heard someone say, that's the preacher's job, or something of that nature? We make excuses using words like, that's just not me, or God didn't call me to that. And though there's certainly things that God has called you to that He's not called I to, and vice versa, the truth is that there's one calling that God has called universally to all of us, and that is to be a disciple and to make disciples. The biblical truth of discipleship is found in one of Jesus' first acts of ministry as he was calling his first disciples into ministry, and that's in Matthew 4:18, the other scripture I talked to you about. Those scriptures read this, "And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he said unto them, Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they straightway left their nets and followed him. And going on from thence, he saw other two brethren, James the son of Zebedee, and John his brother, in a ship with Zebedee their father, mending their nets. And he called them, and they immediately left the ship and their father, and followed him." When I look at the scripture there in Matthew 4, the truth of these scriptures is that Jesus himself called everyday men into the ministry. Everyday men into discipleship. There's one particular quality of this scripture that we really need to notice. And as we already have mentioned, Jesus calling these everyday disciples was not something that we should overlook. Fishermen who spent their time making nets, casting their nets, they weren't nothing elaborate, right? The first four disciples, really the world would look and say, there's nothing special about them. They're just fishermen doing their thing, catching fish. But when Jesus looked at them, he saw something special. And I start to wonder, why is that? They weren't well-trained individuals in sharing the gospel. They hadn't been to seminary. They hadn't been taught every little detail of Jesus' truth. They didn't look like the kind of person that would be called. But he didn't need someone that was a spiritual juggernaut, if you will. He needed someone that was willing to soak up his teachings. Someone that was willing to listen and to learn and to understand. He needed someone that was willing to love him and learn from him. Jesus' call to discipleship is biblical because it's modeled after his calling of the disciples. It's modeled by himself. And so that brings us to the question, really, of what is discipleship? What happens next in the Scripture is what defines them as disciples. In verse 22, Scripture teaches us that they immediately went. Could you imagine being these four fishermen standing on the sea, casting your nets, mending your nets, and you're just doing your thing another day. Another day in the life of a fisherman, and all of a sudden, here comes Jesus the Nazarene down here, and he says, come with me, you're going to be fishers of men, and you leave everything you know. Scripture teaches immediately, and they leave, and they follow. Could you imagine what that would look like in their life? To drop everything, just to follow Jesus. You see, the truth of these scriptures is that Jesus really did call them just to be a learner of His. Really, we need to ask the question, what is discipleship? Well, simply, obedience to be a learner of the gospel. A disciple is a learner of Jesus. There's nothing really elaborate about it, right? The very definition of the word, if we were to look it up, is simply to be a learner. So to call disciples to the gospel, we're calling learners of God's story. We're calling people who want to follow Him, people who want to love Him and learn from Him. It's really a humbling calling. Because we're not looking for spiritual juggernauts in this world to carry out the calling of a disciple. We're looking for someone who's just willing to learn. So I really want to pose this question for us as we get a little deeper into this. And that's the thought of, are you willing to be a disciple? Are you willing to learn? Because if you're not willing to learn, then you can't be a follower of Jesus. It teaches us that what is right in the eyes of man is not always right in the eyes of God. The Scripture teaches us that the world's definition of success isn't necessarily our Lord's definition of success. Jesus could have found, by the world's standards, the most spiritually elite, which in His time, the world saw the Sadducees and the Pharisees as the spiritually elite. They were spiritual juggernauts of their day in the eyes of the people. And Jesus could have went to them, right? But Jesus knew in His heart that they weren't learners of His. No matter what the world saw, the ones who were elite, when it came down to it, they really weren't that elite. The ones who were elite, when it came to the spiritual ways of the world, really wasn't the Sadducees and Pharisees at all. It was simply the people that would decide to live and to learn for Jesus. What we learn through this, most of all, is that Jesus' calling to these men who were just everyday men meant that Jesus calling disciples was not a call for them to be spiritually superior. Jesus wasn't looking for these men to be superior in the spiritual manner of everyone else. He wanted them to learn, maybe get there, right? To be like Him, to live like Him. But it didn't just happen when He found them. It was a constant thing. He didn't expect Peter, Andrew, James, John, or any of the other disciples to immediately come in and be the spiritually elite. He desired for them to be learners of His. And you know what? They wanted to be learners of His. That's the reason they dropped everything. That's the reason they immediately left. It's because they wanted to give their all to Jesus. To have a deep desire to know Him. They had a deep desire to see others know Him. A deep desire to walk with Him personally and faithfully. And the reality of this call is it was really a humbling call. It wasn't this calling that put them on a throne above everybody else. It was really a call that brought them to their knees. It was a call that brought them down to be a learner of the faith. It was a call, wasn't a call to spiritual supremacy. It wasn't a call to have the disciples standing above the rest. All it was the humble call of a Jesus follower. But you know what? That humble calling is really the greatest calling to ever be. Though it doesn't seem like a lot, it's the greatest of all. To be a disciple of the Most High King, it may not show a sudden display of worldly success, right? We may not follow Jesus and then all the world looks at us as we're the best thing ever. In fact, it'll probably be the opposite. But what it will display is the calling of one who wants to be known by God. So that's the question for you guys today, and for me, myself, and for each individual that's on this earth, is, are we wanting to be known by God, or are we just wanting a sprinkling here and there? Are we just wanting to give Him enough to say that we're a Christian, or are we wanting to give Him our everything? This brings us really to a crossroads. You see, there are aspects of the Scripture that we must remember today. I want to address one simple truth first, and that is that we should disciple. It's that simple. If you're saved today, you're called to disciple others. When you and I made the decision to follow Jesus, this calling became a part of our inner being. It's backed by Scripture in Matthew 4:18, where Jesus called the disciples, and it's what we should do. Here's the thing. Many Christians fall short here. A calling to disciple is not a lazy calling. It's not one where we can sit on our tails and do whatever we want and follow our heart's desire. It is not even one where we can simply tell of Jesus and then move on. The call of disciples is the call to teach all, not a little. Verse 20 in Matthew 28 said, "Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world." He didn't say, "Teach a few things." Jesus didn't say, "Teach them some of what I've taught you." Jesus said, "Teach them all of what I've taught you." Do you think we could do that in a day? Even a week? A year? No. The calling to make disciples is not a lazy one. It has to withstand the test of time. It's a journey, and it's going to take a while to get there. So sharing the gospel with someone, though great, there's more to it than that. You have to live as a part of that person's life and pour into that person. You have to give them your all so that they can give their all to the Lord also. And according to these Scriptures, we aren't to only teach this little bit of Jesus. We're to teach it all. And for the Christians here, this means we are pouring into the lives of those around us daily. Teaching them all that the Lord has commanded of us, all that He has taught us, all that He has showed us. All that the Scripture says. And you ask, why do we do this? You see, we aren't trying to create people who simply believe in the existence of a superior being. We're trying to create disciples. And if we are just seeking each day that we live to create human beings that believe that there is a God who exists, then we've missed the point. Because there's lots of people, guys, who believe in a spiritual being that are going to hell. Because the reality is that simply understanding that there's a spiritual being really isn't enough. You have to follow Jesus. And so I ask you today, who are you pouring into? Who are you living to see life changed? Who are you giving your all to? Because if we're trying to create disciples, then it's going to be tough. We're trying to see the Holy Ghost transform people's life, in real life, in everyday Jesus followers. We're trying to see learners of the Savior, not neglectors of the Word. Here's the reality. There's lots of people that think they're going to heaven, that have looked and they understand that there's a God who exists, but they still live in the world. And they neglect the Word of God. They leave it to the side. They push it over here. They don't need it no more. And they're going to hell. Because a lot of folks like us decided, we're going to share with this person that God exists, but then we're going to drop it. We're not going to go further. We should always be asking ourselves, where is the next step? How am I pushing a little farther and a little... How am I sharing all of Jesus with this person? You see, if we're going to try to create disciples and we're going to see lives changed and we're going to see learners of the Savior, then we have to put into it. We can't just give a little bit. We're seeking to see lives transform and the gospel reach the nations, but that doesn't happen unless we're willing to give our all. So you ask, where's revival at? Well, revival can't come unless God's people's given their all. Unless God's people are giving their all to see disciples made, to see people have a true and faithful understanding, to be a learner of the Savior, then revival can never come. So brothers and sisters, are you here today to make disciples or simply to convince people that God exists? Because there's a big difference. The Sadducees and Pharisees believed God's existence. But they missed the point. That's why Jesus didn't call them. That's why Jesus went to these four fishermen first. Because no matter how much the Sadducees and Pharisees believed that God existed, they missed who God was. They missed the point. They couldn't live for Him because they were so focused on what they thought. In this simple truth, we begin to see plainly the Great Commission asks us to create more disciples or learners of Jesus. It doesn't call us to create more pew sitters that think they're going to heaven. It created us to make more disciples. We can continue to sit here wasting our time, but friends, who are you discipling today? Who are you pouring into today? Who do you find yourself going to and teaching all that God has commanded, not some of God's commandments? We can seek the Great Commission all day. We can share the gospel all day. But how are we going to go farther? If we fail to disciple, it won't matter. None of it matters because we haven't taken someone to the point where they understand what it really means to follow Jesus. And there is another scriptural expectation for all of us to live here. We do disciple others, but we do it while being a disciple. You see, we're never going to stop learning. If we think we're going to ever reach the pinnacle, not going to happen. The most important aspect of any of this is that we in our own lives, we in ourselves must always be a disciple. There are many people here today, both those who find themselves following Jesus and those who do not. But what we learn is that many can convince themselves of false hopes. A few of those false hopes may sound like this. I believe in God and I'm a pretty good person, so I'll be in heaven. Or my daddy / granddaddy was a deacon and I'm always in church, so I'll be in heaven. And let's not forget the always, ever so popular, God wouldn't send good people to hell. Here's the reality. If we are willing to live a life outside of being a disciple, we've missed the point. We're just living to check another box to say that we're a Christian, and we really don't know what it means. The simple truth is that one can believe in the existence of God without the desire to be a learner of Him. It's quite possible to believe God exists and really not have a desire to follow Him. The scariest part about this is there is a lot of people that feel secure and they feel safe in the hopes that they've created in their mind, the hopes that we have just listed. They feel like they're going to heaven, but they really aren't because they don't get it. They think they're okay. They think they're going to be there. You know why? The modern day disciple has failed. We have chosen to not disciple, so therefore we have raised a group of people who have been given a false hope. Many times if Jesus' disciples, us, would teach all that Jesus has commanded, not some, not little, these situations could be avoided. No matter how much one may think that they have no need to follow Jesus or to be born again, the truth is not so lenient. You can go to hell and still believe in Jesus if you have not been made a disciple of His. You must be made new. You must seek to follow Him, to walk with Him, to be a learner of His. That doesn't mean you're going to be perfect, but it means you desire Him. Our calling is not a calling of good works or spiritual supremacy. It is a calling of humility. It is a calling of grace. And if we're unwilling in our own lives to be disciples, then we can never see the lives of those around us changed. So really, there's a couple things that are particularly taking place here today. We have those who feel like that they're good, and they're really not. We have those that are a disciple, but they refuse to disciple others. They're not following the Great Commission. And we have those who just are content where they're at. They don't feel like moving. But the truth is that Jesus came to the earth. He lived a perfect, sinless life. He died on the cross of Calvary, and He rose again on the third day. And He done so that we would follow, would love Him. If we go back all the way to the beginning of Scripture, that's our whole calling as people, is to be a learner of His, to love Him, to walk with Him. And you see, here's really the thing about being a disciple. Being a disciple never really stops. Never. We know that we may never reach Jesus, therefore the call to discipleship is a lifelong calling. We are always to be a learner of His, because we're never going to get there. No matter how long we may try, no matter how much we may put into it, the pinnacle in which Jesus Christ is at is unattainable by us. So once you've been saved, there's not an end to discipling yourself or others. We never suddenly learn all that we feel that we need to know, and we're good, Jesus. Instead, being a disciple will last the test of time. It'll carry eternity. Because we're always just to be a learner and a lover of Jesus. And if we can't do that, then why are we even here, folks? So I want to ask you guys to think about today. In your own life, where do you find yourself? I hope that you're a disciple who's discipling others. Praise God if you are. But maybe you're a disciple who is content. You're not discipling nobody. You're happy where you're at. If you find yourself that kind of disciple, friends, you're not living Jesus' call, the Great Commission. You're not following spiritual example that He set in Matthew 4. You're not seeking to pour into the lives of others. Do you not think that Jesus could have done all that He done on earth without His 12 disciples? Certainly. Why do you need 12 disciples? To carry out the mission after He left. So if you're not pouring into someone, who's going to carry it out after you leave? There ain't going to be nobody. if you're not discipling someone else, it's all over after you leave this earth. So I encourage you, if you're that disciple who's not pouring into other people, you're not discipling another, come and plead before God to give you those in your life in which you can disciple and you can lead. Now maybe you're here today and you say that you believe in being. Like you're that person we talked about, right? You think you're good, but you're not 100% sure. You don't really know, right? Maybe you're the person who says, I don't really understand. Well, I can tell you today that being a follower of Jesus is just being a learner of His, just being a humble learner of His. And so that's an encouragement to you today, is to come to make it right with Him, to seek to follow Him daily, to live for Him, and to become a disciple of His. Whatever the calling is today, wherever you find yourself, we have to be a disciple, and we have to make disciples. Would you pray with me this morning? Father, as we come before You, we're just reminded today that there's more to this than just knowing You're there. Father, we're called to follow You. We're called to live for You. And Father, I'm praying today that each one of us here would evaluate our own lives. We'd come under the understanding of whether or not we are a disciple ourselves. And if we are a disciple, are we failing at making disciples? Father, we understand and see that You didn't need to go and to have the disciples who followed You, but You did so that they could carry the mission once You were gone. And so, Father, give us a boldness and a zest to make those disciples, because that's the only way that revival comes. So, Father, I pray that each one of us here would find that person, those two people, those three people that we can pour into, that we can give our all to. Father, that we can truly disciple for You. And Father, I pray today that each one here who's not following You would seek today to know You, because they see that following Jesus is really just having a relationship with You and living for You. Father, it's a humbling call. It's nothing that really puts us up on a pedestal. It's just something that brings us to our knees before You. So Father, I'm praying that Your people would humble themselves today. We would see that we need You more than ever. Father, I pray You would be with us, lead us, and guide us. I say this in Your name. Amen.